You're listening to Around Comics, episode 134.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic book roundtable, where twice a week you'll hear a revolving panel of guests discuss comic books and graphic novels. On every Monday episode, just like this one, we go over the week in comic news, review our favorite books from the previous week in Top of the Stack, and take a look at what's coming out this week in Future Stacks.
I don't like Mondays. Tell me why I don't like...
Oh, sorry.
Because it Another starts with you frantically posting the episode. I'm Christopher Niesmith, introduce you to the rest of the roundtable. It's the usual suspects here, Mr. Tom Caters.
Hey, we're doing this out of... Is that the order we always go in?
No, I'm switching
Switch
things
it
up.
It's crazy. My OCD is fucking kicking my ass about...
We've actually moved Scotty's the table OCD at Dark Tower.
I need to face Cardinal South as when I record, so I'm all messed up.
Yes, you're due west now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Brian Salazar?
I don't care what direction I face.
But you always have to sit on that corner of the table.
I always have to pick this corner, yeah.
It's funny.
It's only because it's next to the power. And I don't want to have to trip
power.
Over.
Power hungry, are you?
I am power hungry.
And the man who has all the power, Mr. Scotty Young.
An iPhone. I got an iPhone.
You did get an iPhone. Yeah.
He was messing around.
Not that he has it displayed proudly in front of him right now, just in case.
Well,
just
this cool little...
Well, someone walked by, and they were just shopping, and he just kind of shoved it out on the table and was like, you can't buy this at this store. You have to order it online and go to an Apple store to get... This is an iPhone.
Are you going to show it off to Norton and go, I paid less for this than you did?
It won't work now because he was able to... There was a time period, and he returned it and got the discount. But mine is definitely better.
Did you get your kind of cool Birkenstock?
My little canvas. Yeah, it's kind of military.
Yeah.
The only people I know who own iPhones are comic book artists. You guys roll.
Actually, yeah.
You guys roll
Damn,
a lot of money.
Scrooging it, baby.
I
know why comics are so expensive now.
Yeah.
These guys got to buy other toys.
Yeah. Kirby used to only write letters back in the day.
It is funny, though, because I've had it a day now. And I'm starting to realize its utter uselessness.
All right.
It's a great phone, I'm sitting at home on looking at the Safari, right? Because it has full internet capability.
But you have a computer at home.
Yeah, I'm sitting in front of my 30-inch flat-screen computer Apple display monitor.
Looking at YouTube videos.
Looking at my 3-inch tall iPod internet, looking at like my own website, right? So now, I'm not even looking at other people's websites. I'm looking at my own like, oh, my blog looks so
How
cool.
How does my
mini? Right? It's like girls that like the mini dogs.
Yeah.
What do you take it out on the back porch?
Well, what I do when I'm smoking or watching porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta have the porn.
Yeah. Take your porn on the back porch.
Well, that thing will come in handy when you go, you finally decide to go back on the con circuit.
Yeah.
It's actually, we have a new story about that a little bit later.
It is, as a phone, it's fantastic.
You know, we took a couple of the guys I work with, we went to the Apple store. Earlier this week, and saw the new Nano and the new iPod Touch.
Yeah.
And we're getting very techie here.
I got a new iMac.
I like my phone. I have no problem with my service, which isn't AT&T. What do you think, iPod Video or the iPod Touch?
The only downside I think to the iPod Touch is that it's only maximum of 16 megs.
Yeah, or gigs.
Gigs. That's what I mean. The 16 gigs. Once that ups. The iPod Touch will be. I mean, the touch. The iPod.
It's awesome.
The iPhone is awesome.
Yeah. Scotty was using it last night, and I'm straight, and I was attracted to him.
Yeah.
What's he doing?
Damn, he's sexy with that thing.
Look at that.
Oh. Mm.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's move on, but remind everyone that this episode of Around Comics, not sponsored by the iPhone, is sponsored by Borders.
Sink your teeth into the story that introduced the world to Anita Blake, Vampire Hunter. Get your copy of Guilty Pleasures by Laurel K. Hamilton at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the tastiest fantasy novels. Find a store near you at borderstores.com.
I'm imploring people to go and buy the rest of the copies of Anita Blake so we can...
Talk about it selling
have
out?
So we can have another spot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, we've been talking about Anita Blake for about 2 months now. Yeah,
that's why it's the best-selling graphic novel.
That's right.
We push it hard.
And apparently. I think it has sold out. So
I think Borders is your home for the tastiest fantasy novels. And if you visit the Borders on Lawrence and Broadway... It's also the home for lots of homeless men.
You have a pretty good chance of seeing someone take a dump on the stairs, which I have seen.
I'm like, that's the uptown one, Scott.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Uptown's
uptown.
Great.
We call it Uptown or Bartertown. It looks like goddamn Mad Max.
I think I said it on the show before. If you're ever, you know, white on cash, need some cheap entertainment, Broadway bus.
Yeah.
I go to Oak Brook.
We could do a whole podcast on Uptown.
Oh.
And maybe someday we will.
Yeah.
Around Comics is not in Uptown. It is in beautiful Lincoln Square, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue.
In Chicago.
Where you can see great sights like... Homeless Birdman on the corner.
Scotty's iPhone.
I don't know. I don't walk around the city because I am like a wacko magnet. Yeah. Anytime I go anywhere in the city, freaks just come up and want to have conversations with me.
We were walking away from
that's Casey's how Sal and I met.
The freaks come out at night. Oh, you're like a Houdini video.
It's the weirdest thing.
Anyway, if you want to join Homeless Birdman, you can come here on Friday nights at 7 o'clock.
Is this bird homeless? Because it flies everywhere.
They wait for him. Yeah, he's right out in front of
If I go by him, he'll want to tell me his
No, he only talks to the pigeons.
There'll be 300 pigeons covering him. Yeah. I'm not kidding you.
Shitting on him.
Well, it's because he covers himself in bird feed.
Seed, yeah.
On purpose.
Yeah, and
to stay warm?
No, every day he falls into glue in bird seed.
You know, and you know who does it?
Honey.
Macaulay Culkin. Even now, Macaulay's 25 now, and he's still throwing glue and bird
dropping
on the Lincoln Square homeless guy.
It's hey, living in the big city, you never know what you're gonna see. So, all right, let's move on to the top news stories of the week. It is time for Wire to Wire comic book news.
Wire to Wire comic book news.
Hey, it's convention season.
Wow, that was natural.
Hey.
If that was what I'm in video, it would have been like when newscasts have like their commercials and everyone looks up at the camera. Hey, welcome.
Welcome back, everyone.
Are we on video tonight?
No, later.
Yes, for Nicola.
All right.
Nicola.
Even though she won't actually be in studio. But everyone can imagine that she is.
But I have a life-size...
I'll put a wig on.
Nicola cutout that I made out of old comic Birds of Prey comic books. I put it together.
Some paper mache.
Yeah, it's very lifelike.
Nice.
You're so divorced, dude.
Well, my inappropriate hey was leading into the news that they're already talking about conventions again for next year. And the Emerald City Comic Con, which I hear great things about, has officially announced its initial guest list for the sixth annual show taking place on May 10th and 11th in Seattle, Washington. And the lineup as set, and there's still a lot of people to be announced, is J. Michael Straczynski, Ethan Van Skyver, David Finch, Andy Runton, Umberto Ramos, Robert Kirkman, Phil Jimenez, Jeffrey Brown, Jim Chung, Jimmy Palmiotti, Amanda Connor, Ryan Ottley, Richard Starkings, and Maura Tatt, Broom, don't know who that is, Aaron Brom.
Sounds like a villain from Lord of the Rings.
It does, yeah. Is he going to ride his
Brom's
horse?
Castle.
Aaron Williams, Jamal Eagle, and Scotty, is it Eagle or Eagle?
I don't know.
Is it Jamal Eagle?
It's Eagle.
And surprisingly, Mr. Scotty Young.
What?
Yeah. Who told us earlier this year that he was not going to do any more conventions
for the next year? What did I say? For the next year, that's a year. That's over. August, that's at the year mark.
Yeah. So going out to Seattle.
Going to Seattle. They offered to me. It's a free trip to a cool con, and I've never been. I've never been to Seattle, so.
Seattle's pretty fun.
What the hell?
I like to have sex in every city. I want to have sex in every city.
Every city. Major city in the U.S. and Canada.
I'm the exact opposite. I pick one place and I only have sex
and
there.
And that's it. Yeah.
With different women, though.
It's like that's a vampire. Amazing
or thing. In a coffin with soil from that place.
Wow.
Whoa. Creepy.
Oh, and Tom will be good going to Seattle with you. Oh. Don't mind his extra luggage. the Emerald City Con, I think it's one that's been getting pretty popular. It's one
I've
of
heard it's fantastic.
I have heard really good things about
we'll
it.
We'll find out. Scotty will give us the full report.
I will tell you the truth.
True dope shit.
All right. So
I don't know.
So cool with kids now.
God, you're so fucking
boss.
You're so boss.
We were listening to hip hop all the way here tonight.
Well, yeah, I was just
like, I felt like that scene out of Office Space. You know, where the guys on the highway.
That's the best scene in a movie. Man.
All right, moving on. There's a new faction in the world. There's a new faction in the world.
Is his name Fraction?
It is actually Defraction.
What?
I think it's
sounds like a rapper's name.
Yeah, it does. his name is Henry Leo Defraction.
HL Defraction.
HLD.
The just born son of Kelly Sue DeConnick and Matt Fraction. Congratulations, guys.
Congrats.
It's been, I think, the most
anticipated
comic book birth to date. So
twice.
Yeah. Fucked up.
Really? I don't know.
Well, it's been really fun. Kelly Sue has been this live
I
journal.
I swear to God, when we do the Nicola Scott interview, if you guys start talking about crazy women issues, I'm leaving.
Stop looking at me like that.
You guys are
the cycles. Most if anyone says anything about
cycles. Yeah.
Cycles.
No, but this has been at the image boards at Matt Fraction's forum. It's they've had the.
It's only the most anticipated because Chris has been anticipating it so much.
Well, yeah.
Sitting at home with baby doll toys. Going, but he wrapped him in like a blanket that's the womb.
Oh, stop.
He's been hero clicking it, right?
Stop dividing my love for Greg Rucka towards other interests.
That's the most
congratulations
birth
to
a male pregnancy by Greg Rucka.
Oh.
But congratulations to Matt and Kelly Sue. Two of the really good people.
I hope you get some sleep.
Yes.
Quit freaking my friends out.
All right, now from one of the otter stories, Platinum Studios has gone public. They are now going to be, I guess, a publicly traded company. And I don't know how much we want to talk about this.
I'll race you to the E-Trade and see who can get it first.
It is funny for me to be in a comic book shop and to look around the shelves for a company that just says it's going public when I can be...
Books.
Yeah, if I can be in
a comic
book
shop... Well,
no, you
can see one book. There's one on
it's
the...
It'd probably be easier to get the stock than to get the book.
Yeah. It, to me, it's just an odd situation. I mean, I talked to Sal about it when I read it, and I not that I felt one way or the other. I was just baffled by it. I mean, there's I talked about Marvel, how long Marvel as a company was around before it even came close to going public.
Yeah.
Years and years and years.
Well,
and years.
I think a different business landscape at the time, you know. But
any company can go. I mean, generally today, I mean, a company goes public to try and raise equity to try and do something.
Sure.
Round
what they're yes, you can buy the stock.
Hey, it may
Christmas.
Come to that.
it's sort of a strange story, mostly because of what the other stories that we've heard from Platinum about Platinum.
But that's the whole thing about Platinum is that Platinum is about press releases and news stories.
I've never read a
Can
Platinum
I buy
book.
Stock
I've
in
never
the
read
PR
one.
Company for them?
They do a hell of a job.
That's all. That is what they are, right? It just feels like they just put out press releases for things that don't exist yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is weird. It's very bizarre that they. I mean, when we talk, Chris, I talked with Chris about it a little bit, and I said, well. I mean, they're not trying to sell a bunch of stock to a bunch of people that know who Platinum is.
Yeah,
they're not trying to sell stock to
us. Comic fans.
They're hoping that people,
get bagged and boarded?
Can I get that CG seed stock?
Well, to me, it seems like they're hoping that people will look at, the the bunch of comic book movies that have mm-hmm. gone out, they can look at press from Platinum saying we've got this option and that option and whatever else option, and you know it's all sort of smoke and mirrors. I mean, they're sitting there selling something that really isn't.
Yeah. It's like
tangibly valuable.
If but Boom did this, it would seem like it made more
it'd
sense.
Still be odd. Though.
It would still be odd, but you'd be like, okay, you know they.
I'd probably feel the same. I mean, I think
there's a little bit more.
I think they have more footing.
Well, I think Boom had some more credibility.
Well, I equate going public and selling stock to your company to usually, I mean, to some kind of company that's going to generate some high revenues.
Sure.
Not just revenue, but high revenues. I mean, Marvel and DC, I mean, we're talking about companies that themselves don't pull in mind-blowing revenues. I mean, they make much more money off shoestrings with the Superman logo on it.
Licensing is where they make most of their money.
So, I mean, for an independent company with...
Well, those dividends are going to be... Watch out for those 1099s coming. There's going to be some big numbers.
You know, we don't have a lot of the numbers in front of us, and it was just kind of that it struck us as odd, but Heidi McDonald...
on the beat. She kind of looked at their... statements and
because now that they're
public, all their information public. Is public, and there was some interesting things in there last year. They had said they had made like $1.4 million, but $1 million of that was from a movie option that apparently was from a relative of the owner of the company. Overall, that company's had a track record for very strange business dealings.
Mm-hmm.
In a very small way.
I heard one involved a donkey.
But let alone in a public, offering.
If people remember the big hubbub over the Cowboys and Aliens about that being, you know, quote-unquote, the number one selling graphic novel,
right.
Which, if you read into it, this was the number one selling graphic novel at one store in New York. That
the thing
is,
I feel weird, you know, the thing,
pole.
It's like, awesome like title. I know the creators that, you know, they have people that work on the books, that you know, write the books and draw the books and everything else.
Sure.
And it's like, I feel bad for those people because, you know, it's like they have their books that are published and I'm sure they're very happy about that. But mm-hmm. then you have this company that seems to be
odd.
Yeah, odd to say it nicely. And it's like, you know, I've seen like some of these guys come out and try and defend the company, which of course they have to do, but it's just I kind of feel bad for those guys that it's like they get something published but then all of a sudden it's with a company
that's kind of like, you know, some of the guys from, you know, Alias, you know, whenever that kind of got a little weird there at the end before they, you know, kind of dropped all of their, you know, quote unquote.
But like I tell
Sky,
it's like this industry is built on, you know, hustlers and thieves and, you know what I mean, con men.
You can look at, I mean, I think a great example of something to look at. I mean, you have a company that like a Platinum who has just a few titles to their stable anyway. I don't know what else they're involved in. That I mean, I'm not sure. I just glanced at their website with a few. They just have a few titles.
Right.
I look at a company not that long ago, which was CrossGen. You're talking about a guy with millions of his own dollars and started an entire company. I mean, and it did well.
Right.
I mean, it sold well. It made a dent and still
fell apart.
And this is a million. I mean, this guy did not build the company from nothing. I mean, this guy's a millionaire.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He was selling comics. I think these guys are trying to sell movie options.
Yeah, and but that's where I'm saying you have one that had a lot of money to set up to bring even more money in, and still the bottom fell out.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm.
I think it's a product of the perception that comic books are like the R&D of
yep.
movies.
It's the lab.
Right. False, I think, to be honest, but it's sort of banking on that perception.
Because if we're looking at an average of how, I mean, again, we're surrounded by thousands of books right now. If we look at an average of how many make it to a movie, I don't even know if we meet a whole number yet, right?
Yeah.
Well, right. Good luck to Platinum and those stockholders.
Good luck to anyone.
See you on Wall Street. Warren Ellis is clarifying some information about Desolation Jones, if you remember that book.
It's not fucking coming out.
And I hate America.
I've been waiting for the trade. I've been waiting for the trade because I think the artwork's beautiful on it. I don't know.
First arc or second?
I don't know.
Who was the first artist?
The third.
Williams
the third?
It's like a crazy
J.H. Williams the third.
He's a good crazy inky, like very.
That was the second art, and I can't remember. I can't remember who that artist was.
That guy's the shit.
It escapes me. But they came out with two issues of that arc.
I believe so.
And then it just it stopped. Right. And I think that Warren Ellis has had a lot of stuff going on, whatever. It was rumored that the series was not going to continue. Dan DiDio wasn't for sure if Warren Ellis's Marvel exclusive would exclude him from doing that. And Warren Ellis sent out an email or release, whatever, and said, no, it's still in the works. They're going to put enough issues together so it can come out on a monthly basis. So, long story short, Desolation Jones is not canceled. It will return.
Coming out, wink,
we just
wink.
Don't know when. So.
And I still hate America.
It's Sean Connery.
It's like, that's my Sean Connery.
Unbelashed Dragon.
Sounds very
unbelashed. That's the movie you choose to quote from, huh?
That's the
which one?
Unbelashed Dragon.
That's the one Sean Connery quote that sticks in my mind.
It's my heart.
We're angering every porn listener.
Yeah.
Sorry,
the game is afoot.
All right. Now, another group, the Young Avengers, remember them?
They're fictional.
Yes, they are fictional. Yes, Tom.
Yes.
Fiction.
I hate them.
I really liked the Young Avengers whenever it came out. I thought it was a really good series from Marvel. And they just kind of, they're a part of the Marvel Universe.
Can you explain to me, yeah, they are part of the Marvel Universe,
yes.
But there's things that happened in that book that didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, didn't. Nobody paid attention to. It's just it just happened. And
do you know what comic books are?
No, I understand that, but it was like, I mean, there was some stuff in there that you would think would.
I'm not
a continuity freak.
The whole premise of that book is that it was a very continuity driven book.
Right.
It was in the ashes
currently with other things.
Yeah.
But the other things just went off, and it disappeared.
It's like Young Avengers kind of came out of the ashes.
I did like
out of
it.
The ashes I did, of Avengers Disassembled. Well, the series just kind of went away, but there apparently is a Young Avengers miniseries that is scheduled to hit shelves in January.
Everything should be miniseries.
It's Young Avengers Presents.
What? Is it?
Isn't
it? Yeah.
The Young Avengers?
Each issue is a different focus on a different character.
Oh, okay. So one will be about Stature, one will be about...
Becker's writing the Patriot one.
Yeah, they probably want to keep the names, the characters out there, but they just...
It was a good book.
I really enjoyed it.
I liked it. Yeah.
So I was. I thought that they had something that got off to a really good start. Got off to a lot of good fan reaction. Hell, they made toys, and then the series just kind of.
It's tied to Heinberg, and Heinberg is busy with entertaining,
making
women
money,
and boyfriends women? Of those women.
Sweet.
With the, so.
Can't say I blame him.
At the end of the Baltimore Comic Con, which we're going to cover some of the announcements there, they had their annual Diamond Summit, and this is the retailer summit. And Sal, we had talked about this,
this
earlier this week. This is the new
they unveiled
POS.
Point of sale system that Diamond is going to be offering to comic shops. You can buy the system from them and then rent the software.
I've never seen so much press over a UPC reader.
Well,
sold out?
I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah. We order it now.
But they're offering a point of sale system so that you could actually track sales of comic books through comic book shops.
We won't have to guess anymore?
Now, will comic book shops buy it? You know, it's kind of expensive. It's like $2,000 to plunk down on, and then it's like a $200 a year
licensing
thing. But the other thing is too is I mean it's mm-hmm. and the other part of the announcement
they have offered interest free payments.
Yes, they have
that.
Offered a like 12-month interest free payment thing, which is nice. But the other part of the announcement was that they are starting in 2008. Any item in previews will have to have a UPC code.
Hmm.
Now, one of the things that came about it is that so if you are a comic shop owner. And you order from Diamond, but you also order from anywhere else, because there are a couple of very small other distributors of books and different things, will you be able to put those things in the same sales system?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are thinking it's a way for Diamond to try and lock up the direct market even more than they already have, because if you know if every
give me that last 1%, we want
exactly.
it, and it comes with the well, branding as well.
And the other thing was that people are saying it's a way for them to, because there's book distributors that are looking at comics and looking to get in the mix of distributing trades and that kind of thing, and it's a way for Diamond to maybe push them out from being able to do that. So it's an interesting thing. I mean, you know, obviously to be able to actually look at comic book sales on a monthly basis, if it worked that way, if enough shops were to use it, would be, I don't know. I mean, it could really change a lot of
there's never
how
been,
the industry's
you know,
done. But
since the direct market, there's never been hard numbers on comic
book sales.
Yeah,
nobody knows has
well,
any
I mean,
idea. What
I think my first thought is that obviously only I think the bigger stores are going to be getting it.
Diamond's biggest accounts are there's five accounts that
make
like
up
five
a huge
are, that make up, you know, a huge
and
percentage of Diamond's orders.
I'd be interested to see if those people will even release what numbers they saw. I mean, I think it'd be interesting, but I do think it's an interesting thing to actually see what people buy, especially when you can actually compare it to how much is ordered. I mean, I would be interested to see that just out of curiosity, just out of just
right.
because so many people put so much weight on
there's
the
still,
order. Yeah,
there's
the
still no.
Numbers.
I mean, it's still going to be an odd count because the people can only buy what is
in the store.
Is in the store, and there's still going to be that. There's still that decision of I'll get three copies of this. So still,
well, I think the one thing it will show though is like I remember when Civil War like 5 came out and they're like, it's huge sales. Well, you know, you can go to a lot of stores and see long boxes filled. I mean, it's not going to be 100%, but it'll be interesting to see stuff like that. See, you know, those sort of things. But then they're not going to release it. Like, what store is going to say, oh, look, how
these
much
are
I overordered?
Sales. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's
these are.
It'll just be
are.
Another way for there to be insane press releases about insane, useless sales numbers.
In Albuquerque, New Mexico. Yeah.
Sold out at the store. Actually, at the store.
It sold out, and then it sold out again.
I get the thing about people thinking this is an attempt by Diamond to like lock up book distributors, but I really thought if book distributors really wanted to get into it, I mean, I don't think that the UPC thing would really necessarily stop. If a book distributor wants to get into it, you know, I think they're going to be as competitive as any, you know, anyone's going to be. So I think it's a little.
It's
well, there's, I mean, the you know, the book distribution has way more brains and money than.
Well, but I can understand where Diamond would try to. I mean, because
try
Diamond,
to do anything that can hedge their bets.
I mean, Diamond has locked some things before, where say like if you do your regular comics with us, then you need. Like, it's an all-or-none situation.
Right. Oh, yeah, they
want
to hold on
to
it.
I want more distributors.
Absolutely.
All right, well, some more news out of Baltimore. And I guess this all came out at the Diamond Summit. But Dark Horse has announced an Indiana Jones Omnibus Edition. And for fans of the old Indiana Jones, don't fret. It
Indiana.
Is going to include...
Indiana. We called the dog
the
Indiana.
The dog's name was Indiana.
He stopped.
he did the worst one. You won the fucking award, Chris. Wow. I thought Casey was bad at he just did he's doing Sean Connery and it sounded like this. The game is afoot.
On the last
we called the dog Indiana.
Hey, now you have no room.
I can do Sean Connery.
Fans of the old Marvel Indiana Jones series, don't fret. They are going to reprint. It looks like the majority of that material and include new material for the upcoming movie.
Fantastic.
Nice.
Virgin Comics had Garth Ennis there to talk about his upcoming Dan Dare series with artist Gary Erskine.
What a weird thing to say.
Whatever.
Virgin also announced, and this is the interesting. They announced the continuation of its line of celebrity-driven comics, including a sci-fi story written by Nick Rhodes of Duran Duran.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I'm just going to start writing shit.
Are
you
kidding me?
No.
Duran Duran.
No, and it's a sci-fi story. That's a fucking best thing about the story,
what
right?
What you do is you take a band that is red hot right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. yeah. Oh my God.
Richard Branson was at some point some piece of paper must have come across his desk with like an Excel checklist of what famous people can we get to write comics. Yeah. He's like, oh yeah, I love Hungry Like a Wolf.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
Bond.
Simon sci-fi story by fucking Nick Rhodes of Duran Duran.
I think you can hire Duran.
It's not even Simon
like LeBond.
You know what? I did for a motherfucking just Labor Day. We had a cookout. There was only five people at my house.
Gave him a piece of beer.
Marvel VP of Sales David Gabriel and Assistant Manager of Sales Jim McCann teased several major developments in 2008, including X-Men Disassembled. It looks like
ready to complain.
Yes, it looks like the X-Men franchise is going to get turned upside down and
just start killing them.
Yeah,
if you turn something upside down and like an odd number of times, or an even number of times, you'll just end up being right side up again.
Welcome to comics.
Doing a 180.
By the way, at that they did not announce my project at
no.
The Baltimore.
Good thing we didn't totally announce.
Yeah,
last
the retailer summit. They didn't.
Good thing we didn't.
That's why I held off because
good
I
thing
knew
we didn't
there was
tell
a
everyone you're doing New Avengers.
Yeah. Oh, Susquito,
Red Hulk.
No, Red Hulk will be done by Jeff Loeb and Ed McGuinness.
Oh.
And they talked about Secret Invasion. So everyone who's very concerned about
great.
Who is a Skrull, get
not
ready.
Really.
Next year they're going to do Secret Invasion.
Why not? And
apparently,
running
apparently
out of events?
Several major Marvel characters will be revealed as Skrulls. So who can you trust?
Foggy Nelson. Willie Lumpkin.
Aunt May. She's going to die, but she's a Skrull.
Oh,
so she's been hidden in a locker by
she's a
Jarvis.
Yeah, well,
she's a tranny. Tranny Skrull.
Tranny Skrull.
I've come to love Peter.
My own.
I'm taking him back to Skrull Island, whatever.
Skrull homeland.
To wrap up our news here, DC's Bob Wayne mentioned a deluxe 20th anniversary edition of The Killing Joke by Alan Moore and Brian Boland. The story pairs with next year's Dark Knight's Batman film. Both tales star the Joker, and the deluxe hardcover will be recolored and include never-before-seen background art.
I don't think I actually have The Killing Joke.
It is...
it's in the Alan
I've read it.
Well, the Alan Moore DC stories, it's in
but
there.
But the
yes.
This is one of the
are
things.
Right?
This is one of the things that kind of frustrates me a little bit about using like this special edition hardcover things, because The Killing Joke is very little.
Yeah, it's very small.
I mean, it's like 48 pages.
Prestige,
but it's what's in.
Well, I know it's a great. It is a good story, but I mean,
well, they'll probably have backup material. They'll make it 100.
But I mean, literally, it is 48 pages. It's not much over 48 pages.
Wouldn't surprise me if they've got scripts and it sounds like there's.
You guys got the Black Sad books, right?
Mm-hmm.
You
I haven't got
imagine
it yet,
that but. Coming out in a hardcover. The
right.
cover would be thicker than the book.
Yes. This is ridiculous.
Well, I mean, it's just odd to me.
Well, I do
like
that.
I'll still buy it.
You as a Brian Boland fan, actually all of us as Brian Boland fans, it will be nice to see some of the conceptual art that was used for that. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous story.
Yeah.
And if you want it now, I think, Tom, you just said the best way to get
Alan
that story.
Moore, the DC stories that Alan Moore has it.
Yeah.
Though it
Which
will be
awesome.
Cool to see it recolored because those glossy trades make everything.
I mean,
all
the good,
colors look ridiculous.
Sweet. And the good part of it is, too, because it is out of print. It is. I mean, I tried to order it online, and for a book that big, they want to pay like $100 for it. And I'm like, so it is good for people who haven't had a chance to read it for it to come out. I found it odd that it was going to get the hardcover treatment with its page count.
Any sort of Joker Batman story is going to be reprinted next year. You're going to see the Joker everywhere now.
Joker.
Again. All right, well, that will take care of our news. That means it is time for Top of the Stack. That's right, it's Top of the Stack, our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week. And Top of the Stack is sponsored by Ape Entertainment. Welcome to Autumn's Grove, a quaint little town where your fears manifest, then devour you whole. Only a few people are willing to face the madness lurking behind the facade, and not all of them will survive. Huh? Available for pre-order now is Sullen Grey, the miniseries from Jocelyn Gageway. Is it Gageway?
Close enough.
Okay.
Jocelyn G.
Gageway.
The miniseries from Jocelyn Gageway and Drew Rausch, artists of SLG's Haunted Mission and Tokyo Pop's The Dark Goodbye. And it's all in an uncensored trade. To find out how you can pre-order your copy of the Sullen Gray Trade paperback for 50% off the cover price and receive a free original sketch from series artist Drew Rausch, go to www.apecomics.com. Half price and a free sketch. There's no better bargain in comics. For previews of Sullen Gray, for previews of the Sullen Gray trade paperback and tons of other ape goodness, visit our friends at apecomics.com.
www.
Isn't that dude on our forum?
Rausch?
I don't know. Somebody's been posting Sullen Gray stuff on our forum.
I'd say that would probably be it. I know that Greg Baller from Magnitude is there from time to time, and Kevin Freeman from what's Kevin Freeman's book? Why am I drawing
Subculture?
Subculture, yes.
Subculture,
guys. So Subculture comics, good stuff. Check it out. All right,
Subculture.
Ape.
All right, Todd, what is your top of the stack?
My top of the stop, top of the stack this week is Maintenance from Oni Press, number 5.
You love that book.
Yeah, we just talked to these guys.
Robbie and Jim.
I picked Jim Massey and Robbie Rodriguez. If you've listened to us previously when we interviewed them, it's a story about maintenance workers. It's sort of a giant corporation that makes weapons for evil villains.
Sweet.
Yeah, and this is the second part of a two-part story. There's the two guys, Manny and I forget what the other guy's name is. All of a sudden,
Lenny.
Yeah, Lenny. they take out the local shark man that works that lives inside the building, corporation out for a drink. But Dr. Dorothy, who is a evil scientist, sees it and knows about it because he has tiny, you know, spy androids that look everywhere. So he blackmails them into going into the sewers of the building because he flushed a bunch of nanotechnology that have now built an entire culture in the toilets of the building. So he shrinks these guys down and tells them they have an hour to go down there and fight these. And then they run into, like, shit monsters and, like, these tiny, like, the they call themselves Destructomites, and then whenever they say it, they say, and it made me laugh.
You're calling yourself a Destructomite.
You know, and that's just like a flavor of how the story goes. It's very funny. I laughed out loud several times to myself on the train while I was reading it, and the girl next to me, who was smoking hot, looked at me twice like I was insane, because I was, like, reading a comic book with my iPod on too loud, and I'm like, I'm like, it's black and white. It's cool. but we recently talked to these guys, and it's a funny book. I enjoy it.
You should pick it up. You always are talking about that.
Yeah,
book.
It's great.
I read the first couple. I think two or three.
The Trade of the First Three is out.
Is it?
So yeah, if you're interested.
Really? The first three. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Strange that they
check it out.
I think I will.
It's quick. I've already talked about it.
Yeah, done. Finished.
Why you were talking about that? Marta called to let me know that she was watching Rick Bayless's Mexico One Plate at a Time, and that he was wearing a Flash T-shirt. And she thought that was very important to tell me that. Like, thank you, honey.
Thanks for interrupting the show.
Yeah, Tom will appreciate
that.
And then my brother called and said that he wanted my old couch. So.
Oh, there you go.
So that's the Niesman family business for
fantastic.
The night.
If I was rambling, it was because there's cell phones going off.
Sorry. Yep.
I would never take a couch from my siblings.
Yeah.
I would never give my couch to siblings. There's some shit going on.
I've masturbated off and on those couches.
We've slept on Norman Mailer's couch before, but that's another story.
Very uncomfortable. Norman Mailer might have masturbated on that couch.
Oh, all I can know is Norman Mailer has shitty taste for couches.
That's not comfortable either. Sal, what is your top of the stack?
Mine is Thor, number 3.
Yes.
J. Michael Straczynski and that Copiel guy, Oliver Copiel.
Copiel.
Some dude named Morales did, I think, colors on it. I don't know.
You do know. You have it right in front of you.
Yeah, I know, but I can't.
The names are in the goddamn book.
I can't.
I love this book, but I'm going to piss off everybody.
It's either at the beginning or the end.
End somewhere. I don't know. Here we go.
No respect for
Oliver Copiel, Mark Morales, inker Laura Martin, colorist Chris Eliopoulos, letterer. And blah, blah, blah.
Some Thunder God book.
That is an all-star lineup. Warren Martin has awesome colors.
I'm I've always liked Thor, but I really like what J. Michael Straczynski is doing with the character now, bringing him back from limbo or whatever. Just a couple of things in this issue in particular. I mean, obviously, the big part of this issue is Thor confronts Tony Stark about... actually, it was kind of the other way around. Tony Stark comes to see Thor and kind of threatens him to that he has to... tells him he has to register.
It's like, hey, you little man, sign this paper.
And Thor does what, of course, he's going to do and kicks the living shit out of him, which is great.
Awesome.
But a couple of things in it that I really enjoyed, a couple of moments in it was... One, there was like this little tiny subtle moment where Thor all of a sudden became a very much more powerful character in the Marvel Universe. He basically tells Tony Stark that all the time that he's existed, he's been holding back. That they don't really know how powerful he is, and he's always just been holding back his true power. Which I really liked because it's like, you were able to now all of a sudden make him that much more powerful and dangerous of a character without having to, like,
have
do some wacky, some weird thing happen to him.
He just
is. He always has been, that kind of thing. Yeah. So I just thought that was kind of cool. And the other thing is just sort of at the end of his conversation with Tony Stark, he sort of tells him that he doesn't care about the whole Civil War thing. It's sort of beneath him, and he's busy doing other things. And his other things is he's trying to fight all the Asgardian gods that... have sort of bonded their souls with mortal people. I don't know. But I just sort of like how he's writing Thor a bit more aloof and above everything else. And to me, that's how...
He's a god.
A god, yeah. I mean, if that
Wilt
kind of a
thou buy me a sandwich?
would sort of act if such a thing existed.
But
so.
What I like is that while he is a god and while he is not concerned with, you know, these affairs of mortals, you know, the whole Civil War thing, there is an amazing amount of compassion that he has towards the innocent mortals, I guess, you know, these people in
I think
New Orleans.
I think what he's trying to do with them is, you know, he's caring more about, he realizes that his existence is based on something now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's based on the people that sort of worship him. And in order for that to work, he has to take care of those people, and as opposed to maybe going off and fighting Galactus or something, you know, there's other things that he needs to sort of concern himself with. And I absolutely love the way that that Oliver Copiel, however you say his name, is drawing Thor. I just think he looks...
godly.
Yeah, he just looks badass. I don't know.
Godly.
Without being like silly.
Divine.
He looks divine.
I wish Thor had a beard more often.
Well,
Bearded Thor did rock.
I like beard. Thor. I'd probably read Thor.
Walt
if he had a beard.
Simonson.
I'm not kidding you. I probably would read
just
Thor
for the beard.
I'm not kidding you.
How about a killer stash?
even a big
handlebar. Killer handlebar. Thor stash.
I could deal. There's something that, visuals play a big role in me believing in a character or a book, and Thor is a character that I could see myself probably getting into.
A Norse god maybe should have a beard,
but he's always he's always so clean.
I'm above
looking.
Human affairs, but I'll take time to shave.
Yeah, exactly.
Clean shaven every morning.
We'll see if this follows what has been for me the normal Straczynski route, which has been usually 8 or 10 really strong issues.
Never 9.
And I loved Midnight Nation was a great 12-issue series. I think that he writes finite series better than ongoing. I thought Amazing Spider-Man started out great, but tailed off.
I don't agree with that.
Really?
I think the last few issues of Amazing Spider-Man have been fantastic.
Okay.
I've loved it.
He lost me somewhere in the middle.
Let's save it for another show.
All right. But anyway, I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
If you've been waiting for
like
Thor
this.
To kick Tony Stark's
ass.
Oh,
and he does just beat the living piss out of him, which was
freedom hater.
Fun.
He hates freedom.
Fun to see. It wasn't even like a fight.
But
there
was a great moment where there's a great moment where he does admit how hurt he is by the loss of what he thought was a friendship.
Yeah, well, fuck that. He beat his ass.
Say that shit.
Slapped him around.
Mr. Young, what you got?
iPhone.
Okay. my pick of the week.
He hasn't read any comics this week because he's been playing with his iPhone.
iPhone.
Actually, I see this sitting here, and you haven't read it yet.
No.
Speaking of Straczynski, Supreme Power.
Is it good?
It's awesome. Yeah.
I was thinking about giving it a shot.
It was really good.
I finished Preacher. I'm not gonna talk about it though. I'm gonna wait until some other
time.
When you can truly vent your frustration.
Yeah, right now it's all about emotion. and I'd be mean about it because I didn't really enjoy the ending. Everybody lied to me. It all comes together.
No, I didn't lie to you.
At the end.
I loved watching in such a short period of time. You go from enthusiasm to jaded.
Yeah.
Like it was like you could almost start it. It was like 8 years of comic book reading jammed into like a couple months. Yeah.
And it did. I mean, I started off the first two trades. I was like, wow, this could get pretty deep. And pretty shallow when it comes right down to it.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, we'll talk about it later. We'll talk about that later. But anyway, after I finished that awesome
epic
ending,
you bought an iPhone.
I bought an iPhone, and I went and started reading the Daredevil,
ooh,
Bendis run of Daredevil, and
burned through like.
Yeah, I'm on 12.
Jesus.
The 12th Bendis trade.
Well, there's not. He starts at 4 and he goes to 13.
Okay.
And I'm on 12.
Wow.
So I went 4 through 12.
Wow.
Well, people need to realize they're very small trades. I mean, they're not. You know, I think they're maybe 4 issue trades. Mm-hmm. Maybe you know, they're not like.
So is new X-Men going
to
be late?
4 to 6. Oh hell no, baby! I pencil books in 3 days.
People love it.
I roll with the mustache and the supernova.
What was the first arc on that? Was it Underboss? Was that the name of that arc?
I don't know.
Might have been
with Silk.
Yeah. It started off
the guy from Philly or something.
Yeah,
which was not a great story.
So So I've been blazing through those. Which, I mean, it is all the same storyline. You know, his whole starts off with the Kingpin kind of getting his stabbed up and somebody trying to take over for that, and then he was blind. The Kingpin was blind at the beginning of Bendis' run from what happened before that. Then he gets shanked and everybody believes him to be dead. Then when he comes back alive, you can see. Nobody talked about it, though. I mean, it wasn't even, you know, it's never a brought up thing like, oh, yeah.
Well, stabbing's good for the eyes.
Yeah, I guess so.
Stabbing the spine.
Yeah.
Brought us
stabbing,
in.
Stabbing by, like, 30 dudes at once.
I don't remember.
What happened was when he stabbed him, the demons the left his training body.
Yeah.
The demons.
They were covering his eyes.
It's really good. I mean, it basically is following the story of them outing that the Silk guy who tried to take over. He basically went to the feds and outed Daredevil, because the guy found out that Kingpin knew that Daredevil was, or who Daredevil was, that was Matt Murdock, and he thought, you know what, this has gone on too long.
Because that goes back to
the
80s.
Yeah. This has gone on too long, you knowing who he is and not doing anything about it, and him and you basically allowing him to mess up all our business. So this guy sets it up to where he goes to the feds almost to try to cut a deal. They don't cut the deal with him, but he still outs him, and these couple low-level feds sell it to the paper. And so basically, for the next, you know, 6-7 volumes of Daredevil, it's just kind of the adventures going on during this plot of Murdock trying to fight off and try to convince people that he's not Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a...
And still be Daredevil.
And still be Daredevil, but still, like, kick somebody's ass and take off his mask and show people he's Matt Murdock. And
yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff that goes on, but I mean that's kind of the general plot.
Well, as you go along, you'll find how tied even Brubaker's run is to what Bendis was doing. It was one of the more seamless transitions from one creative.
I've only got one more trade. There's only 13. 13 is Bendis and Malieve's last trade of that. So
I can't wait for you to get to the first Brubaker one.
Well, I already started the first Brubaker. That's what made me go back and buy all the Bendis ones, because I read a couple issues into the first Brubaker one and thought, well, I'll just go back and do all this. And so I really enjoyed it. I think if I had to have one downside, it's that at times the photo artwork is too photo at times. I mean, it's, you know, literally just adjusted, you know, some adjusted levels and things like that. And it gets sometimes it's distracting because I find myself not focusing on what that panel means to the story and focusing on
oh, have I seen that before? You know what I mean? Yeah, like,
right. Where's that picture from?
Right. But for the most part, and I think it gets a little bit more as his schedule probably got tighter, because at the beginning it was a little bit more ink heavy and a little bit more impressionistic. But overall, I really am, surprisingly enough, enjoying that series, which, you know, I probably would have never saw myself enjoying a Daredevil book because...
In truth, it's probably...
It's not really a Daredevil book.
Yeah, it's a Mark Murdock book.
It is a human story. Like, yeah. But and I like how they will bring in some villains, even superpowered villains from time to time, but it feels very real world style and without boring, you know, without it being too boring. But I really enjoy it. I mean, I could see where some people would find it. I know that some people have said it doesn't feel like a Daredevil book.
Right. And,
because it's just a Matt Murdock book. But I don't know. I really like
but
it.
But that's, I mean, if... it. For most of the time, Daredevil has been more about Matt Murdock than about him.
That's what makes it interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, to me, has always been.
That's what you got to do to tell a story. You can't just, you know, over and over have him beaten. I mean, because and unlike most superheroes, he really, I mean, he can just hear real good, right?
I mean, real good. You can smell real good.
It's not like he can't fly shoot shit out of his things and stuff, you know.
How would you compare it to? Because you've read other Bendis stuff like Powers and Alias, and would you compare it to that stuff at all?
Alias, I would. I mean, it ties well to Alias. It's a little bit.
Similar voice.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's close to Powers because Powers has more lighthearted moments or like more funny moments, and it's meant to be a little quicker.
Right.
Like everything's very fast paced and there's a little bit of funny here and there. Where this has your occasional little snappy comeback or whatever, but this is much more
of a drama.
Sticking to the drama.
It's the crime drama. Cool. Well, staying on a Daredevil note, my top of the stack is Daredevil number 100 by Ed Brubaker and a whole scad of folks. Scads of artists.
I'm going to go away for a minute then while you're talking because you're going to...
There's not a whole lot of big spoilers. Yeah. What's cool about it is the artists that were on this book. It's Michael Lark and Stefano Giordano.
I don't know.
Giordano. I'm going to butcher some of these names. Marco
DiGiorgio. Papa Giorgio.
Marco D. John Romita Sr., Al Milgrom, Gene Colan, Bill Sienkiewicz, Alex Maleev.
Who's that guy?
And Lee Bermigio. So it's Bermejo. Thank you, Mike.
Thank God somebody knows.
And there are some mild spoilers here. Usually whenever you see... Bye-bye, Scotty. Usually whenever you see, like, 100th... you got to explain why there are so many artists. Usually whenever you see, like, a big 100th issue...
Everybody's leaving the table.
I know. Bye, everybody. With multiple artists... Sometimes there's no rhyme or reason as to why it transitions from one artist to the next, but there's a very good reason why you have these artistic changes, and it is Matt Murdock's kind of state of mind, as he's been impaired by a fear
gas.
And so as he's basically hallucinating these different scenes from his past... which is a great part of the story, is that you really, for Daredevil number 100, you get to walk through a lot of Daredevil's career and Matt Murdock's life. And you get snapshots of his time with Karen Page and his time with his father, Elektra, Black Widow, as he's confronted with all of these fears. And each one of these new fears is done by a new artist. And each one of them has a very unique and distinct feel to it.
They've all done Daredevil. I mean, they're all previous Daredevil artists.
Yeah, it's like a who's who.
The only one that's not there is Frank Miller or Mazzucchelli. Those are the only two that aren't really
for obvious
there.
Reasons. Yeah, Frank's too busy, and I think Mazzucchelli
gave up on comics.
It's pretty much done. But the Gene Colan pages, I don't think that Gene sees as well as he used to, and so his style has changed a lot, especially from his early Daredevil stuff.
But it's honestly, it's more His early Daredevil stuff is not really his style.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they could ink over his style. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's more the inker's style than really even his, because he always drew with that pencil, you know,
oh,
that
like
flat
Tomb
pencil
of Dracula
style, you know.
And all that.
So this is probably way more representative of his true art style than
and I think
even that early stuff was.
Honestly, if you're not reading Daredevil, I think you could pick up this issue.
Well, that's what 100, you know, usually the 100th issue they try and do something where it's like people that maybe haven't read it before could pick it up because it's a special issue. And I think they did a great job with it, telling the story. You know, it's continuing a story that's arc that's going on, but this particular story is pretty self-contained. I mean, it gets you to want to read the next one.
But what's nice about it does draw on some Daredevil history. And the cover price of this was $3.99, but what's cool is that it contains two backup stories from Daredevil 90 and 91 that...
Which are Gene Colan.
Yes. So you get some great Gene Colan art there. But it's
they tie into
it's
this,
a historic Daredevil story that has to deal with the villain. So, I felt like the $3.99 price, there's a lot here. Plus you get
how
some
about
great
the,
old stuff.
How about the Sienkiewicz Elektra? I mean, that was like he just
Elektra
pulled that
assassin,
out of his
man.
Ass. And, it was just an awesome sort of that Sienkiewicz.
Finally get that Daredevil Scarecrow crossover.
Yep.
But it was cool. It was a good issue, definitely. And it was cool to just see all those different... It would have been awesome if they could have gotten Mazzucchelli and Miller, too.
Yeah. Even
just
to round a pin-up page.
Yeah, anything.
Anything.
So. Phenomenal. But like, it was very cool.
Frank, you know, send us a test page you did.
Yeah,
back
really.
In the day. Mike, you got anything? Or you just...
This is water.
Yeah!
Me?
If nothing else, tell us when the next All-New Adams coming out? Anything like that?
Sooner than I want.
this is the Roger Stern issue, right?
Yeah, that should be out at the beginning of next month. So I'm in the middle of reading Going Down, American Virgin, trade paperback.
It's a
is that the first one or the
second one?
I have the first one. I haven't read
it. It's all really good. It's one of those...
Steven Siegel and Becky Cloonan?
Those Vertigo books, I tell you, that you think it's going to be something and it's not. And I'm just... That's why everybody loves them so much.
Gets its hooks in you.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Becky Cloonan's art's just awesome.
Yeah.
And I guess...
What Becky Cloonan art, because she can do so many different styles.
I know.
She's ridiculous.
I know.
If you got the demo trades, each issue was a different artistic style.
Right.
Amazing.
Yeah. Some quietly covers in there, I think. And some... Middleton, I think Josh Middleton.
Middleton's doing most of the covers on the Going Down trade. But I'm only about halfway done, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's neat. It's if you kind of like Why the Last Man and kind of like the quest type book in Strange Lands.
I gotta read. I got the first trade. I bought the first trade, and I just haven't picked it up.
It's good
to read it.
I like it because the main character is somebody that I would never in a million years associate with, but you know, you do. And that's just like any, you know, any of these great TV shows or books or comics are doing that, you know, like
somehow find a way for you to,
yeah. I mean,
do you imagine yourself being connected to a character who is a teenage evangelical?
I was a teenager.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Then this is the book for you. Yeah.
I would not read a book about a homeless man, though.
Well, you know, neither would I.
Unless Vertigo put it out.
But it is not an evangelical book, so don't take that.
If that teenager was Sam Kinison, then yeah.
If Vertigo put out a book about a homeless man, it'd probably be a guy who lives like in a not-so-great house.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, this is... The most intelligent teenage evangelical.
Yes.
I don't think.
And he gets to turn and look back on evangelical America because he's in Africa.
He's a very smart kid. Most people I know from that kind of background don't have the open mind enough to look at stuff in a different perspective.
And it's not a pro-religion.
No, not at all.
Or an anti-spiritualism.
It's a very observant kind of
book. Yes, it is
observant. It's very, you know, it's not a...
damn it, I'm going to go read it.
It's science. It's good. All. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I recommend it.
All right. Well, I tell you what, that will take care of our top of the stack, and that's everything that we are, all our favorite stuff that we read from last week. It's now time to take a look at what's coming out this week. And it's now time to take a look at what is coming out this week. It is time for Future Stack.
Future Stacks.
All right, Future Stacks. Mr. Salazar, why don't you lead us off here with what's coming up from Aquilus Comics.
Umbrella Academy, number one.
Yay, I've been waiting
Gabriel,
for that.
There's Gabriel.
Yeah, it's Gabriel Ba.
Gabriel Ba and the dude from My Chemical Romance.
Gerard Way.
It's,
I'm looking forward to that. I love the little free comic book one, Free Comic Book Day issue that they put out. I thought it was kick-ass.
I saw what that's going for. It's like, it's listing for like $7 or $8 now, the Free Comic Book Day issue.
Gotta sell mine.
It's probably because there's some fucking whatever band he's in.
Emo
it wasn't sad.
Freaks.
There wasn't any, crying involved in it.
We also got Zero Killer number 2.
Mm-hmm.
From DC, we got 52 Volume 3. Trade paperback, Army of Love, number 7, Birds of Prey, 110, Catwoman, number 71, Checkmate, number 18, Countdown to Mystery, number 1, I'm looking forward to that one, Ex Machina, number 30.
Yay, it's been a while.
Flash, 232.
This is still Wade.
It's
for,
a fast dude.
Wade's writing it for a while now.
Oh, really?
He said he doesn't know when he's stopping.
Oh, okay. They'd originally said it was going to be like 3 issues.
And the rumor was it was 4.
Oh.
Yeah.
Highwaymen.
Just a rumor, though.
Highwaymen number 4.
Pick
which
that
is
up
a fun
if you
book.
Haven't.
The Program, or Program number 3, which is an awesome book. Tales of the Sinestro Corps Parallax.
Here come all the one-shots.
From Image, we got After the Cape, Volume 1, Trade, How Far to Fall. Dynamo 5, number 7, which always screws me up. Gutsville, number 2, finally.
Yeah, how long has it been since?
It's been a while.
A couple months.
Yeah.
Madman Atomic Comics, number 4. From Marvel, we got Captain America 30. Big news in that one, I guess. Volume 2, trade paperback, Captain America Red Menace. Irredeemable Ant-Man, number 12.
Final issue.
Final issue, supposedly, but then there's a rumor that they're bringing it back or something. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
They won't. Marvel Comic Presents, number 1. That should be interesting. Mm-hmm. New X-Men, number 42, by Scotty Young. World War Hulk, number 4 of 5. And then from a few other publishers, we got Wasteland, number 12. Alter Ego, number 72, and the Comics Journal.
There you go.
So
that
there's
is
your Future Stacks.
All right, guys. Well, I tell you what. We are running short on time, so we're going to jump over some listener emails. We'll probably bring those back.
I'm disappointed. I was looking forward to the listener.
Yeah, there's some confrontational
emails. Maybe we'll do
emails.
One for Thursday.
But we gotta make room for our interview coming up
yes,
here.
Yes, we do.
So. Let's go ahead and wrap things up. The 24-hour podcast is coming. I believe that it's going to be the weekend of the 6th and 7th.
I'm scared.
More details. So reserve that whole 24 hours from 10 a.m. to 10 a.m. and
from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Actually, I think the actual the podcast, we're doing it from 10 to 10, but I think the actual podcast will be released from 11 to 11.
Ah, there you go.
So there you go. You can join our Friends of the Program.
Go to roundcomics.com, download our flyer, ask your comic shop manager or owner if they'll display it in the store. If they do, send us an email. We'll mention you and the store on the show and post it on our site. Become a friend of the program today. I sound like the Micro Machine guys. I think I could do that commercial. Micro Machine.
Can you be on an episode of Saved by the Bell?
Maybe.
He was.
Was he?
You remember, yeah.
Oh.
If you would like to use your laptop or home computer to sit on the couch and slowly reach your hand over and touch Chris's hand and hold it lovingly while you watch Felicity, leave an iTunes review, because he enjoys them.
Only if you're goaded into it by a cheap ploy.
Yeah.
By me.
Cheap scam.
I'm going to marry you and Ron after this week.
Yeah, cheap ploy.
Wow.
Worked.
So, yeah, I guess thanks.
It worked.
Thanks to G. Franick, Epog, Miracle Mitt, Hank N., Brian the Stunt Bum. That one's a good one.
Name.
Good job, Brian. C.D. Shelton, Dead Man Prod, PRD, whatever. Captain Adequate. That's good. And Taint de Lunch.
Tainted
Lunch.
And Jess 1125.
Captain Adequate's getting a trade from me because I liked his review. And then whoever's filled in the first one. I'm sending something to them, too.
If you didn't know, Ron and Tom challenged people to write a review for Around Comics and for iFanboy and have one continue into the next. And, like, eight people did that.
Yeah, we really... If DC and Marvel can use cheap ploys, we
comic book fans love gimmicks, baby.
Yeah.
They love the gimmicks.
I was excited because I did called into Bullpen Bulletins that you were on. Oh, you're on iFanboy. That's what I thought you were talking about. Bulletin Bulletins. Never mind.
You did call. I heard you on Bulletin.
They played my message.
Yeah. Apparently, I called into Bulletin Bulletins as well. Yeah. I don't remember.
You called God.
Make sure to visit AroundComics.com. We post next week's
Why'd
topic.
We break up
on Tuesdays at our forum at Around Comics. You can also visit us at comicspace.com/aroundcomics and myspace.com/aroundcomics.
I miss you. If you want to find out about all of our ex-girlfriends, you can check out our...
Let's work it out, bitch!
Check out our wiki site with all of our ex-girlfriends on it. It's set up by Dan C. Papercut, and you can visit it at aroundcomics.pbwiki.com.
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. Find more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com.
Thank you to Borders for sponsoring this episode. Sink your teeth into the story that introduced the world to Anita Blake, Vampire Hunter. Get your copy of Guilty Pleasures by Laurel K. Hamilton at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the tastiest fantasy novels. Find a store near you at borderstores.com.
We are proud to support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for girlfriends who broke up with their boyfriends in the early 80s. And yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue. We love the word essentials on this show.
We do.
And an avenue back into paying work at the grocery store. It's a chance for all of us to give something back to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809.
And ask why it didn't work out.
Yeah.
And hey, we actually did mention Bullpen Bulletins. I want to thank David and Vince for all of the hard work that they
put
in.
We won!
Yes.
They quit. Awesome.
Wait, did they win or did we?
Stay tuned next year when my original graphic novel comes out with the true behind-the-scenes story of how you guys blackmailed them with... naked pictures of them with whores.
No. That's a quit.
Naked pictures.
Quit.
How we do it?
Quit your show. Quit. You sent them in a manila envelope with Vince.
We didn't say who it was from.
With
it was
Vince.
We're watch out, all you other podcasts. Yeah. We're coming for you.
It's pretty easy to get pictures of Vince and a donkey, though. I mean, it's not like
it's
on his Christmas card.
All right. Well, I thank Mark Beatty at Dark Tower Comics for hosting us, as always. For Tom, Sal, and Scotty.
Why'd you break up with me?
Why about Mike?
Let's work it out.
Mr. Norton. I'm Christopher Niesman. Everyone have a fantastic couple days. We'll be back again on Thursday with our interview with Nicholas Scott. In the meantime,
in between time,
we'll be everywhere in
and around
iPhones.
Comics.
I like iPhones.
'd like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, babe. Yeah.